High School Slumber Party is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
School is out and it's Friday night. I'm all wrapped up and I feel alright.
Welcome, supernatural point guards, best friends who instigate, fathers that you could really relate to. Oh, and an extra special shout out to that bully out there who happens to look just like your 90s sports idol. This is High School Slumber Party, the podcast where me and some friends look back at our teenage years through the lens of some iconic high school-centric films. I'm Brian Rodriguez. And the party's at my place this evening. But first, school is still in session. And we have some homework to chat about.
This was your assignment. And I would like to see the results.
Hope everyone had a good week. You know, I'm really excited to talk about this episode. But like I said, we got to check in on your homework for last week. And of course, last week's assignment was to listen to our episode on, yes, New Moon, Part 2. Not that there's a New Moon Part 2, but it's the Twilight New Moon, our Part 2, because it took us so long to talk about. Always, always a thank you to Kate Hudson for hopping on and talking Twilight. 2020 is the year of Twilight. And remember, guys, you can check us out and do that part of your homework by listening to us wherever you're listening to us now, whether that be Spotify, whether that be Apple Podcasts, whether that be Stitcher, whether that be on Google Play, Google Podcasts, and I appreciate that so much. I appreciate your listens. And a way that you can, you know, help the show out is by going on that app and by giving us a 5-star review, giving us a rating if possible. And of course, though, the best way you can help High School Slumber Party out is by telling a friend about all the great things that we do here on High School Slumber Party. Thank you so much, as always. Of course, you can listen to us on the flagship as well. That's cageclub.me, that's cageclub.me, the home of many, many, many other great pop culture-related podcasts, including podcasts that my good friend, the student in the back of the class, the teacher's assistant, Michael Manzi, one of the co-founders of the Cage Club Podcast Network, my guest today for our film, Teen Wolf. No, this is not a werewolf podcast. I know we've been talking werewolf films a lot. It's just coincidence. The reason we're doing this film is not even because it's a werewolf film. It's because it's a basketball film. March Madness, baby! That's what I'm calling it. We're doing a couple basketball films in a row. I mean, I didn't invent the term March Madness, and I know it's more of a college thing, but I digress. I cannot wait for you to listen to our episode on Teen Wolf, and I really hope that you did your homework and watched the movie, because, whew, this is a fun one. Whoa, whoa, whoa! Sit down! The bell doesn't dismiss you. I dismiss you. We got some more stuff to talk about. So remember, guys, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And if you've been on social media, maybe you heard about a little event we're having. That's right. We are hosting a live podcast brunch. I say we, as in me, of course, Brian Rodriguez of High School Slumber Party, but also my good friend, my co-host on P.S. I Love Hoffman, but the leader, the captain, the chef de cinema cuisine of his own show, Foodie Films, that's Kyle Reinfried. We are hosting a live podcast brunch this Sunday at Yonkers Brewing Company, 92 Main Street in Yonkers, New York, just outside New York City. It's really low-key, but we're going to be recording some episodes there, so you definitely want to stop by if you're in the area, and if not, just stay tuned for, you know, the episode that we're going to record there, but it's going to be really fun. There's food for purchase. There's drink you could purchase. Of course, it's a brewery. Yeah, I mean, looking forward to maybe seeing you. If you do stop by, say hi. And if not, well, shame on you. That's not doing your homework. But I get it. Not everyone lives in the New York Yonkers area. So just thought I'd mention that. And yeah, I'm nervous. I'm excited. It's going to be a good time. But you know what I'm also excited about? Today's episode. Oh, man. Teen Wolf, this is on the list of, like, films I had to do. I'm glad I did it. So without further ado, pack your favorite jammies, tell your mother you're sleeping over Brian's, because we're about to get our party on. I leave you with the song, it's in this movie, in the dance sequence, Big Bad Wolf, by the Wolf Sisters. Class dismissed. Manzi, you're here for an interesting movie. I feel like we talk horror a lot, but would you define this as a horror film? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, here I am once again. Yeah, I guess this is not a horror film. Yeah. But what is it? Monster comedy? I don't know.
I've been doing a lot of unique films lately. This certainly is one of them, but it is a rather famous one. We're talking 1985's Teen Wolf, but Mike, you know, the drill by now, probably my most common guest, I would say. Introduce yourself in the old high school slumber party fashion.
Okay, so I'm Mike Manzi, RHS, class of 97, go Maroons. Just got to get it out of the way real fast nowadays because I've done it so much, but...
Go Maroons, of course.
Go Maroons. Go listen to an earlier episode as we struggle to define a maroon.
And... in fact, one of our earlier episodes is the first Michael J. Fox film, I think, to ever exist.
Oh, what if a dream becomes a nightmare? That's right, the class of 1984.
Yeah, so, you know, we saw him there, but this is 85 we're talking about. And the reason I'm talking Teen Wolf is... March Madness, baby. I wanted to do like a March Madness special.
Go Beavers.
Go Beavers. This is a basketball-heavy film. Yeah. I had forgotten if it was just like one scene, but no, like basketball is a big part of this film. So I'm really excited to talk about it. Quick question. I assume you've seen Teen Wolf before?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Grew up with the Teen Wolf. You have this distinct memory of being in like first grade and one of the kids in class came dressed as Teen Wolf. I remember like being in the car when my mom dropped my brother off to meet his friends to go see Teen Wolf in theaters. Like, Teen Wolf was always there, and Michael J. Fox was huge, you know, he was like a big star, and like watched his sitcom, watched all of his movies, so I've always loved this movie, and I, you know, I'm aware of its shortcomings, but I don't care. I love this movie.
It's a film that I feel like everybody knows, but maybe not everyone knows, if that makes sense. Like, everyone is aware of Teen Wolf, and I think it was on TV a lot, but this is really, like, my first, like,
sit down, let me pay attention, and watch this film front to back.
Yeah, you'd think in the age of Twilight that this would be bigger, but they did. It did get a second or third life, I should say, a couple of years ago. It came out as a TV series, as like a young adult series on like MTV or something like that.
It was
like,
yeah. I never saw it, but it ran for a couple seasons and it was critically acclaimed, much more critically acclaimed than this film.
Yeah, here it was more like Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It was like had a more serious sort of edge to it, while also being like, you know, kind of fun, I guess.
Yeah, it definitely seems like it had a more serious tone than this film, that's for sure. This film, there's not, believe it or not, for as famous as it is, there's not too much scholarship, all things considered. There is, and there's some good stuff, but nothing like crazy.
Yeah, there's a sequel, there's a cartoon, which was very common, you know, I think we talked about on Karate Kid, there was a cartoon. I just was talking some Back to the Future on my show recently, and there was a cartoon for that. It seems like the age of that sort of, you know, I mean, Rambo had a cartoon, so.
Oh, so Back to the Future is coming out soon on Third Times?
Oh, Part 3, yeah, you know, I'm getting to.
Well, I figured.
I'm getting to some of the bigger movies this year over there, so, yeah.
So you're all about the Michael J. Fox, you weren't kidding.
Yeah, so I'm entrenched in J. Fox here.
Well, you're going to like this back of a VHS. And by the way, I feel like Teen Wolf is a classic VHS, you know? You saw this VHS on a lot of people's homes growing up.
And a great, great poster, you know, where he's like opening up his jacket to show the shirt.
Varsity
and
jacket,
he's got
yeah.
like all the hair coming out of his chest. It's wild.
And just a reminder, every week I'm reading from the back of the VHS or a picture of the VHS. So here goes. Michael J. Fox is red hot. The star of television's Family Ties and Back to the Future scores as Scott Howard, a teenager who yearns to be more than just a nice guy, and he gets his wish. From deep within his personality, the Teen Wolf emerges. Hair, eyes that glow in the dark. It's like doesn't make a lot of English sense, but bear with me. He becomes super popular, the coolest wolf in town. It's a fun-filled comedy that proves when Fox meets Wolf, fur flies.
Oh my god, that's terrific. Oh, I love that. Never even occurred to me that, you know, Fox and Wolf.
Because why would it?
It shouldn't.
I love it, I love it. That is so, like, cliche 80s back of VHS cover.
Oh, yeah.
Before they mastered the art, if you want to say that they ever mastered the art.
Oh, of summarizing the movie on the back. Yeah.
Any other early memories of this film? Do you even remember the first time you saw it, or is it just like osmosis to you?
Yeah. I think it was rented. I don't know if it was like HBO one day or something like that, but like I definitely was allowed to watch it. You know what I'm saying? Like I was a very young kid. I didn't really have any restrictions on what I could watch and stuff. And it's pretty tame. Rewatching it now, I was like, okay, you know, I should have been allowed to go see, you know, to have seen this. And I don't know, you know, I remember seeing the sequel in theaters and bumping into some friends from school. That sequel is just, oh my gosh. But no, you know, I just, like I said earlier, I just remember it always like sort of being there. And I remember the cartoon when that debuted and sort of being like, what is this? Because, you know, whenever they adapt like the movie to a cartoon, what they did with Teen Wolf was like his entire extended family moved in with him. So he had his grandparents that were also werewolves and they talked like, like vampire for some reason. And,
that's so weird.
You know, he had Boof and Stiles who knew his secret, but then he had to hide it from everyone else. And there was always a reason he needed to wolf out during the cartoon. And, you know, strong memories of Teen Wolf, just not necessarily like first viewing.
And this movie was made really before the Back to the Future fame. He was doing Family Ties, but it hadn't really hit its stride yet. You know, a little IMDb trivia here, but he was able to do this film because the mom in Family Ties got pregnant and they had to halt filming of Family Ties.
Oh.
So they approached him. This film didn't take long to film, and he was like, yeah, why not? And a little bit of a synergy here. I mean, Mike, we mentioned that you've been on this podcast a lot. Of course, you were on my first episode. And very famously, Better Off Dead, the lead in that, Mr. John Cusack, who blocked us, as we all know.
Still blocked?
Still blocked from John Cusack. But he was blocked for this very reason. I tweeted at him and I asked him, because it was true, at least at the time, why did you hate Better Off Dead so much? It was a good movie, and he just blocked me. So did you know the same thing is true of Michael J. Fox for Teen Wolf?
Oh, he's not a fan?
At least, maybe now, who knows? At least at the time and like when he started getting big, hated it.
Really? Because I feel like there's so many good lessons in it. I mean, his dad literally says out loud to his face, with great power comes great responsibility. This movie still speaks, I feel. You know, that's weird. I mean, I don't want to get into it too soon or anything, but there's a lot of themes like that could, you know, at the time it's like mostly puberty is what I saw in this movie, right? You're going through changes, puberty, but now it can be for a myriad of other reasons, you know, coming out of the closet or what have you, you know, like, it almost feels more prescient today, as funny as it sounds, that the story of a teenage werewolf.
Yeah, or just like being weird or something in the family.
Right, yeah, being ashamed of something that you necessarily shouldn't, and then once you sort of start to own it and gain control of it, then, you know what I'm saying, like, it's yours then. Yeah, I that's weird, I never heard that. So I wonder if he's still of that mind.
I doubt it, because, you know, it's such a nostalgia classic, but maybe he is, I don't know. But when I read that, I was like, oh man. He was like upset that other people were doing such great projects, but I believe this was filmed before Back to the Future. So he got to do Back to the Future. So that's great. but actually, this movie was a huge success. It had a $1.2 million budget, and it made $80 million at the box office.
Whoa, and that's like 1984 $80 million. Wow.
Think about this, right? Their strategy was so smart. What they did was they saw Back to the Future was coming out, and they realized that it was probably going to be a hit. So they held the film back because I think it was supposed to come out before Back to the Future.
Smart.
Waited till that blew up. It did. And then people just wanted to see Michael J. Fox. You even mentioned it in the opening. Like 1985, he was such a big star that, you know, like it was inevitable almost, like, that this was going to do money. I didn't think they would think it would do $80 million.
No, but you know what's interesting about this time, too, is, like, this is around the era of Ghostbusters. And so, like, supernatural comedy, right, instead of, like, scary supernatural stuff, like, there was still Poltergeist, but there's Teen Wolf and Ghostbusters and lighthearted stuff, too. So, like, you know, it just hit at the right time as well, but that is very smart. And I also noticed, quite like Ghostbusters, like, it has built-in marketing of its own franchise, you know, like, they're selling Teen Wolf merchandise in the hallways at school.
You know, it's like a meta-realization of what it is.
Yeah, and I feel like that was pretty rare, I think. And, you know, it wasn't until, like, Spaceballs, where you're in an actual parody film, that it's like, we put the picture's name on flamethrowers and everything, you know? So,
and also, you know, not just, like, funny supernatural movies, but, like, werewolf movies apparently were very big in the 80s.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading a list before, like, obviously American Werewolf in London.
So good. The Howling. That whole Howling series is just demented. It's amazing.
There's a movie called Silver Bullet.
Oh, yeah, the Stephen King adaptation with Corey Haim?
Yes.
Yeah, and Gary Busey, the hider in the house himself.
I didn't realize he was in that.
Yeah, I think, I'm pretty sure.
You know, Monster Squad comes out later in the decade.
Yeah.
There was another one, too, that I saw that I was like, what? And it was almost a direct copy of this. And no, I'm not talking about Teen Wolf 2. Okay, so it wasn't a copy. It was before this, but it was called Full Moon High.
Okay.
And you could pretty much guess the plot.
Right, it's Werewolf High School. Pretty much, right? But there's also stuff like, didn't you guys cover on Hoffman over there, My Boyfriend's Back? That's kind of another one, right, where it's like a zombie goes to high school. There was ones where it's like, My Boyfriend's a Vampire. Things like, you know, there's like weird, I think Jim Carrey was in like Once Bitten, which was a vampire teen high school comedy. You should check that out. That's a good one.
Oh,
a lot of high school.
Add it to the list.
It's about losing your virginity, which is, as we all know, paramount to going to high school.
Once Bitten. Yeah, so this is a genre, but I feel like this film transcends the genre, at least in pop culture. Like, okay, when they were making it and when they were writing the script, I'm sure they thought that that was all it was going to be, right? But Michael J. Fox, they rode that train, baby. And now, like I said, everyone knows of Teen Wolf. They might not have, like, know every, like, character's name or scene, but of a certain generation, Teen Wolf, big film. I mean, you don't do $80 million without getting some kind of footprint on society.
Well, I mean, it's like those two words go together so well. They sound so good. Teen Wolf. You know what I mean? Like, it says it all. But also, I was thinking, like, you know, the other characters in the movie all go by nicknames, too. There's Chubbs and Boof and Styles and, you know, Nick. Like, there's nothing, they don't go beyond, like, a first name or anything. Like, there's just something so, I don't mean this in a bad way either. I mean this in, like, the best way. I think Bill and Ted is like this, too, where there's something so basic about the premise here. They can sort of indulge in the high school stuff, you know? And, like, I think that's what they do so well. This is primarily just a high school movie. And it's like, oh, by the way, he's a werewolf, you know? It could have just been, like, he got popular some other way, you know, or whatever, you know? Like, I'm not saying overnight he could get great at basketball without wolfing out or anything, but things happen in high school overnight, and your image, I think of, like, Can't Buy Me Love, right? This is kind of a version of that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I think that's why Teen Wolf in general, it's of like a higher quality, you know, like I don't feel like they're not just running the premise. Like he's not really the wolf all that much.
I mean, it's kind of similar. This movie totally rips off Teen Wolf, but it's kind of similar to a movie we covered on this podcast, Teen Witch, which again, even ripped off in the title. But yeah, I mean, I love movies like this, but you and I are people who often ask that we want to see more of the lore, like how did things come to be? Mm-hmm. I don't want it here. I don't need it here, you know? You hit the nail on the head. I love how this is about high school, and I love how simple it is. It's so harmless.
We get all we really need to know, you know? The dad explains, like, it's genetics. It runs in the family. Like, I thought it would skip you, like, and that's all I need to know. You know, it's a curse. The curse or whatever or is just, yeah, it's a hand, something that's handed down. I would assume, like, the mom wasn't a werewolf. We don't know what happens to the mom or anything like that, but she's not in the picture. But, yeah, that's what I think, like, sort of threw me about the cartoon and what they try and do when they sort of, they do it a little bit more, I think, in the second movie also, as they try and explain all that a little bit more make
again,
it more common.
We don't need it.
Yeah, it's not necessary. Yeah. Like, the second Teen Wolf isn't necessarily about just going to college. It's about, like, a wolf running around campus going wild.
And, you know, we might as well address it here. Michael J. Fox, obviously the lead of this film, but the reason he didn't sign on for Teen Wolf 2 was because he just was so done with Teen Wolf. They replaced him with Jason Bateman, who is the brother of Justine Bateman, his co-star in Family Ties.
Yeah, and he was almost seen as sort of the alternate Michael J. Fox at the time, because he was on Valerie's Family, which I think originally it was called Valerie, then became Valerie's Family, then the Hogans.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like he was also, you know, a big sitcom star, and they probably were trying to replicate that formula where it's like, let's find this kid on a popular sitcom and throw him into this Teen Wolf sequel. And it's literally the same, like, it's a different sport. The sport is boxing. But
what?
Yeah. Because we all know how popular boxing is when we went to college. And other than that, like, it runs through almost the exact same beats. I think what happened is, like, the coach at the college is, like, brothers of the coach in this movie and heard that Scott had a cousin, so they just, like, gave him a full ride expecting him to, like, be great. This is not a Teen Wolf 2 podcast, but, like, the sort of too long didn't read is stay away, I guess, from that one. Stop at one. I know why they didn't make a third. Just say that. Although She-Wolf would have been good, you know?
Yeah, no, I would have liked to see that. Not really any other big names in this film. You mentioned the character names. Was there anyone else you recognized?
No. I think I remember seeing the dad in a couple things as a character actor. They actually change the guy who plays Styles in the next movie. Styles ends up at the same school as Scott's cousin.
Oh, really?
But
God.
They changed the actor. And the guy who plays Chubbs, like, that guy's everywhere. I mean, that's the guy who jumps up in Naked Gun and yells, "Hey, it's Enrico Palazzo." Like, I recognize him in tons of stuff.
Oh, yeah. I didn't catch that. You're so right. Yeah, and what else is he from that I'm really thinking of?
Oh, Leprechaun 1. Bam.
Okay, yeah. He's in, oh, you know what I was thinking of, though? He's in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, that's right. He's Francis.
Yeah, that's his name. Yeah.
Yeah.
God.
Awesome.
What a weird, like, character actor, you know? Yeah.
Just sort of like the big baby man kind of thing. Like a big baby Huey almost looking thing.
There was a rumor about someone in this film, but it turned out not to be true. Before the days of IMDb, you know Mick McAllister? He's like the big bully.
Okay, yeah.
There was like, I don't want to call it, what do you call it? Like an urban legend.
Okay.
That's the word for it. There was an urban legend that former Met Hall of Fame baseball player Mike Piazza had played him as a child. And this is something like a segment of the population actually believed.
That's funny. Does Mike Piazza have a tattoo like on his chest? Because when this guy gets his shirt ripped open and is like, hey, he's got ink on him. Like, he's just supposed to be a teenager. That's hilarious.
Oh, we're going to talk about some of that.
You know, there's another urban legend attached to this film that happens to be true. I don't know if you want to get into it now or at the very end when it occurs in the film, but have you heard about this in the final
No,
shot?
Tell me. I can't wait.
So might as well get it out of the way since we're bringing it up. But in the final shot of the movie, when Scott goes to hug his dad in the stands, the guy behind his father is an extra, has his pants unzipped, and he whips out his wang and real quick and puts it back in and zips up his pants.
What?
I swear to God. And you can see it. It happens like
you can
really
see that?
Yeah, and it happens like really quick. I even noticed it this time watching it. I was like, you know, there's no way they caught
my God.
It. And like as soon as he like zipped his pants up, the shot turns into a freeze frame and the credits start rolling across the screen. It's in like the upper left-hand corner. Just, it's madness. And like, you know, this
yeah,
isn't the
days. I'm looking
days
at a screen cap now.
Yeah, and wow. This is like in the days, I heard about this, you know, on the playground, like in like junior high, you know, and none of us could ever confirm it because like we didn't own a copy or, you know, by the time you get to the store, you forget it, whatever. It was before the internet, before DVDs and all that kind of thing. So yeah, I don't know if you came across that tidbit in your research, but that's my Teen Wolf.
I did not.
Trivia.
I did not. You're so right. Oh my goodness. What a monster. Jesus.
The true villain of the Teen Wolf movies.
Wow. Okay. You mean good to know. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, I mean, just a little fair warning out there. You know, it's, if you want to just end the movie a shot early, like, you're really not going to miss anything.
So, Mike, when you were saying earlier that this movie is totally okay to show to children.
Changed
were you
my
thinking...
mind. forgot about that little bit until now. But again, like, it's not like you really can't.
Everyone forgot about that little bit. I didn't notice it.
And it really is a little bit. Unless you knew what was going on, you couldn't tell what was happening, right? But like now that everybody knows and you see it, you can't like not see that. But it's a lot like, you know, in Back to the Future 3, the same kind of thing happens where, not exactly, but one of Doc Brown's two little boys, when Doc is talking to Jennifer and telling her why the note from the future was erased, the camera pushes in and the little boy points to his crotch, like just like smiles and like points to his crotch and like nods as if to go like, yeah. And you can look that up on YouTube or whatever also. Like, I don't know what is happening. This is craziness.
You and I obviously don't edit film, but we do edit these podcasts. And I'm sure there have been moments, I know there have been for me, where you're just really tired and you're editing. Something could easily skip you. Now, no one is doing, hopefully, stuff like that in our podcast. Also, it's an audio form. But I always imagine it's just like a really long night from the editor. They're trying to get the scene in, you know. And it's just so fast that these things happen that they don't even realize it.
Yeah.
And it just makes it through every process.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the focus of the shot or the scene. It's not the main performance, right? So I could understand it not. Yeah, I could see it slipping through. And also, you know, if it's too late, you can't go back and reshoot that either, right? Like, especially back then. I mean, nowadays, you could do all kinds of digital stuff probably. To,
yeah,
like,
but the digital things you could do probably be double the budget, so it wouldn't even
right.
be worth it.
Exactly. True. Yeah.
Like, theoretically, even today. So, yeah, I mean, let's get into it. Let's talk about this film, some of your favorite moments and stuff. And again, for March Madness, we're talking basketball.
That's
and
right.
We open up on a basketball court.
Yeah, they're getting creamed. It's like, what is it, like 70 to 12 or something, the final score? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's really bad, but it's humorous. They don't look like a basketball team, and that's obviously done on purpose. Michael J. Fox is pretty short. The one guy we mentioned looks pretty out of shape for a basketball team.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of height on their team, you know? They're not very fast. The coach is so... I love this coach. He's so, like, apathetic. It's like...
He wants to forfeit. You know, the other coach is like, what kind of example are you setting? He's like, I don't know. We want to go home early or something.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a great little like way to set the tone. Anything in the beginning that you want to talk about or scenes you liked or moments?
Well, I never played high school basketball. That was always like too high a level. But I mean, I remember going to a lot of high school basketball games and like
Go Maroons.
Yeah, like the basketball team at my high school is actually pretty good. So it was like fun to go watch them play and stuff. And I'm just amazed at just how much in general this high school looked and felt like my high school. Sometimes like for instance when we did Gleaming the Cube, right? Like that high school looked like a museum or something or like an office complex. Like some high schools just don't some do and some just don't do it for me. And this, I was just like, holy shit. It's like they shot it, like, at my high school. It was like with the huge cathedral, like, ceilings and the big, long stairwells. And, like, there's one part where he's, like, running around and it's like he's lost. And I'm like, yeah, I remember getting lost in my high school once or twice when I, like, was a freshman. And just that whole vibe, like, really hit me hard. Like, this really feels like a solid high school movie.
They don't try to, like, glamorize high school either. Obviously, it's a fantasy film, but you're right. It's a very... Maybe it's because of budgetary concerns, but it's a very realistic high school.
I like his friends, you know? And, like, I don't know. I just like the whole spirit of the opening of this movie where, yeah, they're a loser basketball team and they're, like, kind of a loser school, but, like, they're lovable losers, right? Like, you get into the locker room and there seems to be, like, camaraderie. It's not like they're not friends, you know what I mean? Like, that's cool. And then you got, like, Styles showing up and this guy is great, like, just as a character. He's so colorful and just, like, all the stuff he's going to try. What's that?
He ranks high in 80s buddies, right? Like, there's a lot of these 80s buddies of, like, the main character, and I loved him.
He's like as if Ducky got laid is, like, the way I looked at him. And Boof is great. Like, I love her as a character. I love that Scott just has, like, this platonic girlfriend, even though, like, she knows it, and even his dad knows it, that, like, he totally, like, you know, they should be together. And, like, that's a great story thread going on, and... Yeah.
I thought she was going to be the she-wolf because they kept alluding to, like, maybe the dad knows something.
Oh. It's funny, like, when, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead, but when he first wolfs out and someone's like, hey, Boof, did you know? And she's like, are you kidding? It's like, it's not that I didn't think she knew, but I totally feel like she knew something was up. And, like, later on, I feel like the dad definitely clues her in on, like, everything kind of going on with Scott.
And this movie, it really does a good job of setting the high school scene before we even get any real true wolfing out action. You know, we have like the whole van surfing thing that we'll revisit later.
Yeah, urban surfing.
Urban surfing, yeah. I think one of the first big moments is the... And again, very high school, or like at least very underage, but trying to get alcohol for a party.
The liquor store, the shoulder tap.
Hi.
All right.
I'd like a keg of beer, please.
You don't say.
Yeah, how much is that?
Here your ID, sonny. You little bastard just won't give up, will you? Listen, no ID, no goddamn beer. Can't you get that through your thick skull?
Give me a keg of beer.
And these.
Like, whatever you want to call it, like, I love the balls on Styles just going in there being like, yeah, the boss called and like tried to bribe him and all that stuff. And Lewis just waiting out in the car and he's like, I don't even like beer. It'll never say die mentality. Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not going to, you know, say I never drank in high school or anything. In fact, I remember saying, like, as soon as I turned 21, I kind of like stopped drinking. It's like, I feel like there were a lot of nights in high school like that, just kind of, you know, even like getting served and, you know, just trying once in a while and actually getting served was like incredible.
And I love the whole, like, the crux of the scene ends up being like when they actually go to this party. He's like, oh, you could put it with the other kegs over there or something like that. And there's like so many kegs.
Oh, yeah. That party's amazing. Like,
couple good parties here.
I don't think I've ever been to a high school party quite like that, where they're playing like all those sex games and stuff. And like they're hosting like a dirty version of like Let's Make a Deal or something.
Oh, my God. And everyone is different. There's like the couple on the ground.
Yeah, like in their underwear covered in shaving cream. Like these high schoolers are down. Like they are all like horny as
I don't know
hell.
Like why like, everyone I see myself as a Styles in a sense where he's kind of like the dungeon master here.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like handing out all these like he's not participating, but everyone's like willingly just doing whatever he says, like, oh, get in the closet.
Because they're all, you know, stupid high school kids that are drunk, you know? I love it. Like, that part of it feels real. You know,
rules are rules.
You know who he feels like? He reminds me of? I wonder if Larson was like that in high school, right? Like, he kind of has that vibe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course. He's been a guest on both your shows and our shows.
He just, like, will go to a party and become, like, the game show host and, like, okay, here's what we're doing. We're playing charades with shots or whatever.
Yeah, you're right. We have to ask him next time you and I both independently talk to him if this was his maybe a little inspiration when he was younger, you know?
Perhaps.
And again, just we're talking about Christian Larson, of course, who's been a guest on both your show and my show.
Host of Monkey Club. Co-host of Monkey Club.
Co-host of Monkey Club. And the true inspiration for Styles. Yeah, and then, you know, of course, Boof and Mr. Wolfman have a little moment, but I love it, but she's such that stereotype of, like, you know, the girl of your dreams is right under your nose.
It's almost like she's all that, but she doesn't need any sort of, like, revising. It's almost like Scott needs his vision cleared. Like, I didn't pick up on this. It took me a couple of viewings, but like, she didn't get Scott. She got Malcolm's name and she made up Scott. So like, she's definitely got the hots for him. And I don't know, like, Pamela is totally out of Scott's league. Like, she's already got a boyfriend. Like,
she might be 30.
Yeah, like, Scott's dreaming. I mean, the wolf will eventually get laid, but like, Scott, like, no way. Like, I always felt like watching it this time, I mean, even watching it originally, I was like, how are they trying to portray Boof as like a homebody or like a homely type of friend? You know what I'm saying? Like, this very big in the 80s movies where like there was the platonic girlfriend who like secretly had the crush on her boyfriend.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, I like her more than Pamela to begin with. Like, I don't see what is Scott's problem. Like, does he just want... I mean, maybe he just does want to be popular. Maybe it is he's just attracted to blondes more. Pamela is, like, 7 feet tall. Maybe that's his thing. I don't know. I can't tell you. So, like, I like what they're trying to do with all that. But I wish they made her... I don't want to say I wish they made her less attractive. I just wish there was something else about her that, like, was legitimate. You know what I'm saying? Was legitimately like, oh, okay, now I understand why Scott sort of, like, isn't into her.
Well, that's the whole thing of the 80s, right? Like, I mean, 90s, too, I would say. It's like, oh, woe is me, two hot girls like you, you know?
Yeah.
Because they wouldn't do that. They wouldn't have, like, oh. Again, I'm using air quotes here. I'm not saying I feel this way, but certainly I think people were supposed to think, and I'll just say boys were supposed to think at the time, like, oh, she's blonde. She's hotter, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah.
Which is silly, but that's just how things were at least depicted in the movies.
And this movie also is sort of big on that, like, on stereotypes in general, right? Pamela is supposed to be like this unattainable girl of his dreams. And, you know, Scott is a loser, right? Like, they're all very sort of plain until he wolfs out. Then when the fantasy kicks in and he suddenly, it's like you rub the magic lamp and he gets everything he wants. For a while, it's great. And then everything sort of starts to turn again. And it's like, oh, well, maybe this is more of a monkey's paw than a genie's lamp kind of situation. You know, this is like Karate Kid too, right? Like visually and stuff like that. Like in Karate Kid, Daniel dated like the hot blonde, you know, and in this one, the blonde is like villainous almost. She's like, she's mean. She only likes Scott for the wolf. She's very shallow in that way. And that's how they have to portray it, I guess. But yeah, I hear you. You know, times and tastes have changed dramatically since Teen Wolf 1.
From watching it too, another thing I thought of was like his wolf powers are, yeah. I think the easy thing for us to say is that, like, oh, it's puberty or it's something weird or something strange. But they're so accepted by the school and thought of as cool that it reminds me more of someone, like, maybe winning the lottery or something.
Here's the thing, like, when, and we got to talk about, like, him wolfing out soon, but, like, it's almost as if, like, werewolves are common. Like, oh, there's, you know, like a third of the population's werewolves and everybody knows it. And hey, imagine if one popped up in our town one day and like, how cool would that be? And look, hey, we got our own werewolf. Like, nobody thinks any of this is weird or strange or anything. They just accept it completely blind and just run right off that cliff. And I love it. That's part of why I love this movie. It doesn't take any time to reason with you. At all.
And wolfing out is also, I was thinking, you know, it's almost like you're the nerdy kid in school, but you got this cool car, and now suddenly people are giving you the time of day.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a very sort of Jekyll and Hyde thing to being a werewolf. Like, he's more of a Jekyll and Hyde, I'd say, than a werewolf, because, like, wolfmen and werewolves usually, like, they go insane when they change, you know? That's all part of it, like the lunacy of the moon and everything like that, changing you. And so, you know, like in Harry Potter 3, Dr. Lupin or Professor Lupin, right? Like, you couldn't talk to him when he wolfed out and stuff like that. But when Dr. Jekyll turned into Mr. Hyde, he became like more of like this id, like this super-powered version of himself that was like hyper-sexualized and like really strong and super attractive or what, you know what I mean? Like, it feels more like that kind of thing going on.
But do you think it was because like it was manipulating his brain, or was it just because, like, I don't know, he felt the confidence because people saw it in him, you know? I don't know the answer. Like, I don't know if he was just like, it was a trick, because it didn't seem like he was struggling with that in a sense, because he was having sincere moments as the wolf as well. He just kind of was a dick, you know?
Yeah, like when he first learned how to do it, like, yeah, it kind of, you're right, like he gets too arrogant instead of, he gets confident and he gets arrogant with it.
Yeah, and he's not like, when he switches back, he's like, oh my god, what happened? You know, you see that in a lot of, like,
no,
or like,
it's more like a superpower, you know? He's not like the Hulk. He's more like, it's more like Iron Man. It's more like putting on the suit, right? And that's,
yeah,
what like gives,
yeah,
him the confidence and the strength and everything. And
that's a
attitude.
Good example. Yeah, it's not like the Hulk.
No, whereas like American Werewolf in London, that's, you know, straight up, what happened? I woke up in a zoo and like there's blood all over me. Like, how?
That's one of the few horror movies like I saw before podcasting, and I really like that movie.
Ooh, nice.
I wonder if it holds up. Back to our little werewolf here, Michael J. Fox. Let's talk about the wolfing out then.
Yeah.
Iconic makeup. I don't know if it's good or bad, but just iconic. Well, what do you think of this whole wolfing out?
So, like, the transformation scene now, it echoes a lot of, like, the Michael Jackson Thriller for me. Have you seen that recently? Like,
yes.
That's great.
Yes, of course.
Yeah, so this feels a lot like that, where, like, his skin starts bubbling. There's, like, 5 or 6 takes of different levels of application, and I think it's pretty good. Like, here's the thing about the look of the wolf. Like, it's kind of goofy, but it's not supposed to scare you. So it can only go in the other direction of like, oh, he looks silly-ish. Like, he almost looks like the guy on the cover of National Enquirer who is just like the fur face man, you know, which
yeah,
like happens naturally to some people. Because he gets the ears. We don't really see the eyes so much. They do turn red from time to time. But this is where I'm getting at. Like, I really feel like it grows on you. Like, at first I was like, I don't know if I like it. But by the end of the movie, I'm like, yeah, I like this. Like, this is cool. Like, he fits. I like how he's, like, wolfing out and he's just wearing human clothes. I think that's really fun. Yeah, it grows on me.
And I gotta say, I agree with you, too, in terms of just, like, the pacing of this film. Like, watching it just sitting down and being like, you know, not, I don't want to say scientifically, but watching it for this podcast, I wasn't really buying in as much at the beginning. But by the end, this had me in, like, you know, no pun intended, like, my teeth were sunk into this, you know? I was just so, like, rooting for him and excited. It's an hour 30 minutes. I think that the building to this wolfing out might take a little too long.
Yeah.
But once we're there, it's all fun, because just that basketball scene, we'll talk about that when he's like a wolf in basketball quickly. And we'll go to the dad in a second. But that basketball scene is so cool because he has all these moves suddenly.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not quite being the dick teammate yet. That's when, like, when they go on the run. But, oh, man. I mean,
Well, just briefly to sort of summarize what happens before he wolfs out, and I agree, I think maybe we could take out the confrontation with the vice principal throughout this entire movie, to be quite honest with you, because then
he even runs into him
at one time, and he's like, don't forget who's the vice principal around here, and he's like, I know, buddy, I love you. So, like, the whole deal was that guy went to high school with Scott's dad and had a crush on who would become Scott's mom. And he wouldn't leave him alone. And then one day, Scott's dad sort of wolfed out and made that dude, like, scared him so bad he, like, pissed himself, which he does again at the end of this movie. So, like,
I didn't like that for a lot of reasons.
Just take that whole thing out, you know, of him, like, leering at Scott throughout the first half hour of this movie and bumping into
because
him in the hallways.
Because it doesn't seem that motivated, you know? Like, there's plenty of other people doing worse things. You got a guy who, it turns out, doesn't even go to your school, hanging out around your school. There's a lot worse things happening, and I get why he's picking on him because of the dad, but it also made the dad come off a little bit like a bully.
Yeah, not even that, but, like, yeah, it just made him feel harsh, right? Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, because he says, like, the whole Spider-Man line, like, with great power comes great responsibility, and it's like, oh, when you were being bullied instead of, bullied, instead of, like, standing up to them as a human, you used, like, the one advantage you have against them and scared them and then continue to do it to this day. Because when he talks to him at the end,
yeah,
he's so condescending to him, like, you know?
Yeah.
He's not like, hey, good to see you. I know, you know, maybe my boy's causing some trouble, but I think we could sort this out. The way he says it, it's like, I'm going to fucking kill you.
Yeah, he threatens him. You're so right, because you're right. Earlier, he's like, Scott, with great power, this and that. And then later, he's like, I turned into the wolf out of anger. I wanted to, like, scare the dude. And then he's like, and I've always regretted it. And then later, he does the same thing. It's like, Dad, what's... So, like, yeah, I think they need to sort of just erase that whole thread, and we'd get through the first, like, part of this faster. But I do love the dog whistle at the hardware store.
Yes,
like,
yes.
That sets up so much so well, right? We meet his dad. We see his job. We get, like, the sense of, you know, he's got to work, the home life. They're probably, like, lower middle class kind of people and everything, working class. And then the kid's blowing on the dog whistle and Scott hears it. I think that's great. I love when he threatens he goes wolf-eyed on the dude at the liquor store to get the keg of beer. I like that. I like when he's, like, they're doing the surfing and, like, his ears are growing in and he sees, and that's when Styles sort of wipes out on the truck. So, like, they do pepper in, like, he's starting to change a little bit, and that's the cool stuff to keep early on. But I gotta get rid of that vice principal.
Yeah, no, I agree with you 100%. Okay, so these big moments when he first wolfs out, right, we talked about the basketball game a little. I mean, there's not much to it except for the fact that he's, you know, this is just the start of his ascent. But we kind of alluded to the dad and makeup. But I've seen this movie, but I always forget about the dad. Like, how jarring it is when you first see the dad. Because, like, you don't expect that. Like, oh, son, we need to talk, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even on this watch, I didn't even remember that that was the case so much. And then you just, boom. You see it, and it's like something out of Cats, you know?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes, he looks like such a Jellicoe cat. Oh, that's hilarious. I think you're supposed to laugh, right? Like, they're right. Like, I mean, it's not that it's necessarily a straight up comedy, but there's a lot of like tension that needs to be alleviated in this type of movie. You know, Scott is a nervous wreck for most of it, and it's getting to me, you know. So, like, I need Styles, I need him to tell, like, hey, you hear about that guy who got his dick caught in a vacuum cleaner? Like, I need those bits and pieces throughout this movie. So right after Scott changes, it's really well done, and that's what you're talking about, the transformation. And then he opens the door to see his dad, and it's like, oh, wait, what? Like, the whole family? You know? And I think it's supposed to, like, make your brain kind of, like, jump for a minute or two.
Jeez Louise.
Scott?
Oh!
Can I come in?
No, Dad. No, I'm doing something in here. I'll say.
You may be surprised. Whatever it is, son, you can tell me. I'll understand.
No, Dad. No, not this time.
Scott Howard, this is your father speaking. Now open this door right this minute.
Okay, Dad. You asked for it.
An explanation is probably long overdue.
An explanation? Jesus Christ, Dad, an explanation? Look at me. Look at you.
It's not as bad as it looks.
Wait a minute, Dad. You mean you knew about this? You knew about this and you didn't tell me?
I was hoping I wouldn't have to. Sometimes it skips a generation.
Plus, he just looks hilarious in that, like, in those clothes.
But as you said, that's all we need to, like, really propel us on this and be like, okay, well, it runs in the family. That's it. We know he didn't get bit at some point. He didn't, like, drink some serum, you know? This is what it is, and this is what we're going
to
be.
And I also like the idea that, you know, he's not alone. Like, he can talk to his father about this, but he just won't because he's a teenager, you know?
Exactly.
But, like,
he's the ultimate teenager, you know, going through this insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the one person who can help him are his parents or his dad in this case. He doesn't want that help. I love it. It's such a teen movie.
Yeah, and then I do love the moment where he wolfs out for the first time. I love how everybody's just like, right, like, all right, let's do this, like, play some ball here. Okay. And then there's a great montage. Is that right? Right, like, don't they kick off like the whole basketball montage at that point?
Yeah.
Or am I getting a little ahead? Yeah. No.
No. It's awesome.
And what's really weird, too, is, like, there's not a ton of score to this movie until he turns into the wolf. There's a little bit here and there, and there's some music at the party and stuff. But then it really, like, the music really kicks in, and we're going to get, like, you know, it's going to be sort of less empty, you know, musically, I feel like, for the rest of the movie, almost.
Yeah, there's even more, like, just regular, you know, rock songs in this, towards the end. The beginning, you're right, was empty, and then suddenly we're getting this. There's even one that, like, talks about the werewolf. I think that's the one at the party, right?
Oh, yeah, and I love the one at the dance. That's the one, right? Or no, there's one at the party.
The one at the dance mentioned? I forgot which one.
There's the one at the dance. They're literally doing like a wolf dance at the end of the movie and singing like the big bad wolf and all this stuff. It's terrific.
Another favorite scene around then too is when he first tells Styles.
Oh, yes. Yes.
In that like garage, and you know, Styles is looking for his stash.
It took me forever to understand, you know, even I remember as a little kid not knowing what they were looking for. I mean, like, what the hell are they looking for? Like, what is a stash? Like, what are they doing in the garage? And then, like, he's like, I could, you know, he wolfs out and he says, I can, like, smell what you're looking for. I was like, what are they looking for? It took me forever. It took me like a rewatch in high school to get that sequence.
And then, you know, when he just finds the stash and, oh, you know, the more we talk about it, the more I realize how, when I say great, no, Styles is not like a great person, but just how interesting of a character he is when he's just like, we're going to make money off of this.
Oh, yeah, dude. Like, at first I thought he was just a very accepting friend where he's just like, hey, buddy, like, whatever you are, I accept you. But he's like, nope, cha-ching, cha-ching. He like looks at Scott and it's like you could almost see the cartoon dollar signs in his eyes. He's like, "You're beautiful, baby. I'm going to make a million.
You're so money and you don't even know it."
And he doesn't, you know, and it's almost, I almost feel like it's a bit of Styles like pushes Scott, you know, to go too far, maybe.
He's certainly an enabler.
Yeah, and because like Scott will start doing the surfing on the van like Styles did and all this stuff. But like one of the lessons is you can't be like Styles. Like that's Styles. Like you got to be Scott, you know, like Scott doesn't do that kind of stuff. Right. And like Scott shouldn't feel like he needs to do that kind of thing to be accepted. Like that's what that's a Styles kind of thing, you know, wearing obnoxious clothes and crazy sunglasses. And so when Scott starts just like going to class as the werewolf, I'm like, all right, he's like an addict. He's like addicted to this now. You know, it's almost like alcohol, right? Or teen addiction at that point, because the more he's the wolf, the bigger jerk he becomes and the more he changes from who he is.
He's talking about throughout the film, even before the wolf thing, quitting the basketball team and joining the play, and it's just to impress Pamela.
Yeah.
Eventually, because he's so cool and everyone likes him in school, he gets offered a part in the play, but it's literally, he has to be the wolf to be this part because it's just supposed to be, essentially it's like a celebrity cameo. It's like this Gone with the Wind interpretation, I suppose. And he's like a Union soldier. He's terrible. You know, he's a terrible actor.
Such a great line read. I love it.
Oh, and it's great. And obviously you have Booth feeling jealous. You have finally, Pamela starting to, I mean, I guess become attracted to him. She's more attracted to, somehow, again, the wolf. She's not like, oh my God, I'm going to have sex with a half animal, you know?
No, but it's more like, I'm going to jump that wolf.
Yeah. We don't really see all of it, but this is a sex scene here.
That's true. There's no nudity, but she takes off her top and gets on top of him, and then they cut away, and you hear him howl like a real wolf howling. So, I mean, that to me indicates only one thing.
What do you think of this whole aspect? The Pamela arc plus the Mike Piazza guy. What's his name? Mick McAllister.
Yeah, like, it's crazy when, like, that whole, it all comes to a head at that bowling scene. Well, because, like, Mick and Scott are kind of, like, they're rivals on the court, right? They're from, like, the military academy, I guess. What the hell, what state are we in? Did you ever pick up on where the hell this takes place, by the way? Feels very Midwest, but I don't know.
Nebraska. How weird.
Wow, Nebraska. That's so bizarre to be. All right. Anyway, they did a good job of setting him up as sort of, if not rivals, being like, all right, like that guy's clearly the elite pinnacle and Scott is not, right? He's the they're opposites. So that when he wolfs out, he's like finally on that level. And then I think that's what Pamela is sort of like attracted to, is like, oh, it's like another version of my boyfriend, but this one is like, people actually like this one, where everyone thinks my real boyfriend's a douche because he's like all grumpy all the time and real mean and everything. So like, they should think that of him. But there's that scene at the bowling alley where he approaches them and is like, yeah, I remember your mom, like I blew her head off like trying to steal a chicken. So I was like, what the what, like I don't remember like all this going
is
down.
Was he being serious?
No. He was okay. Just getting under his skin, saying, like, you're okay. Nothing but a animal. Like, you're not even, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're beneath me.
Part of me was like, wait, the mom was supposedly a werewolf, right?
No, I think it's just the dad. Because how could there be two at the same high school unless it's my
3%? I thought they found each other.
My 3% theory. You know? Well, I will spoil a little bit of the sequel. There is a teacher at the university who turns out to be a werewolf as well at the very end. So you never know.
I was like, wait a minute, did that really happen? Like, did he really kill his mom?
When I was a little kid, I actually thought like he was being serious, but now I understand he's just like getting under his skin and being like, look how, even as the wolf, I can make you like lose control and like, yeah, I'm better than you. And you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't keep your cool and all this kind of stuff. And then Pamela is even like, yeah, like I'll do you, but that guy's my boyfriend. Like, you know, like, I'm actually gonna stick with him. Yeah, so I don't think, you know, Nick actually killed Teen Wolf's mom.
Okay.
He would have been, like, maybe, like, 5 or 6 when that happened. I think she might have died in childbirth because he's a werewolf. You know, like, I think maybe some complications because of that. Maybe he came out as a werewolf and, like, I don't know what could have happened, but, like, I'm just saying, like, you give birth to a werewolf, you might not survive the process. So
yeah, who knows?
Then, like, I was just saying, like, Pamela's like, I'm not going to go to the dance with you. I'm going with him, obviously. It's like, you were just sort of like the flavor of the month for me. And that's when Scott's like, damn it.
The one thing I was going to say is, like, I thought they didn't, like, drag this out enough. She right away is like, yeah, I'm not going to go to the dance with you. And I don't know. There was really no drama with Boof or anything. Like, at this point, you're like, of course, you know, he's going to go with Boof.
Yeah, there was a nice moment with her where they walk and talk about how when they were little kids, they ran away from home and no one even noticed and all this stuff. And I was like, all right, like, they definitely belong together. Like, come on, they've been friends forever. Like, it's just, it's the moment to go for it and everything. But that is also when he's at, like, his lowest, right? And he's like, yeah, I don't work as myself. I don't work as the wolf. Like, I don't know what people want. And then I think it's just like, well, what do you want, Scott? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, he's always so worried about what other people think, which is a very big, you know, it's not just a high school thing. I think that carries on for a lot of people, like, through adulthood and stuff. But it's like, yeah, you just need to sort of figure out, you know, if not who you are, like, who you want to be, and just, yeah, like, stop thinking about what other people want from you, and, you know, just, what do you want to do? I think that's a nice sort of lesson in there. And I know it's weird because it's Teen Wolf, but I mean, it's in there, you know, and like all of these, like, little moments are in there hidden in Teen Wolf, which is why I love it so much.
No, but, you know, you're so right that, like, a lot of these 80s films, these teen films, like, as silly as they are, they almost have to teach a lesson.
Yeah.
It's not a bad thing, though. It helps it feel like, you know, like, it means something.
Yeah, and, you know, it depends on how they drop it in there, right? Like if this was a werewolf movie, it would fall flat. But this is not, first and foremost. This is a movie about high school kids going through changes, you know. Just happens to turn into a werewolf. Like, this isn't Twilight, you know what I'm saying? This isn't, like, teenage vampires out in the open, like, hanging out at their own lunch table. Not that there's anything werewolves wrong with that. Yeah, and werewolves on their own sort of, like, reservation and thing. Like, there's no problem with that, but this isn't that. Like, this is not, this is almost like, what wolf? Like, I don't see, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how I watch this movie. It's almost like, well, I don't, you know, it's not really that. It's more of a metaphor, I guess, what I'm getting at. Otherwise, people would be trying to shoot him with silver bullets the whole time.
Yeah, or like, oh, we got to bring him to a scientist or something and figure out,
yeah,
what's wrong with him.
Right? Like, halfway through this movie, what would have happened is, like 5 or 6 white vans would roll up and a bunch of scientists would, like, jump out and quarantine the high school and be like, get me Scott Howard immediately. And then it would be like this. And I think that is kind of what happens, if I'm not mistaken, in the TV show. There's, like, werewolf hunters and they're going after him and there's more than one. And, yeah, they take it, like,
oh,
to that
boy
level, I think. But this isn't that movie. Like, this is,
no,
you know, not, it doesn't care.
And I'm happy it's not.
Yeah.
Know? So I would say there's, like, 2 other big scenes. The first being the one you said, like, that dance. It's so, like you said, the synchronized wolf dancing. It's so 80s. It's so lovely. The Mike Piazza boyfriend is there. He goes with Boof, but, like, as friends. But, like, they kind of have a sex scene too, right?
They kiss. They make out. Well, so they make out early on in the closet.
Yeah.
For, like, a minute. But then they do go into the hallway because he shows up as the wolf. And then she takes him out into the hallway and, like, calms him down by making out with him. And he turns back into Scott.
So they didn't have sex there, you don't think?
Oh, I don't think so. It just seemed to me like they were making out, but I mean, yeah, I don't think they went all the way.
I'm saying he has a pretty nice life in this film. That's all I'm saying. Got 2 pretty girlfriends, essentially.
I guess. I mean, like, he's got hair on every inch of his body at least, like, twice a month, right? Like, I don't know. Well, that's another thing too. Is, like, I love how, okay, like, the first incident took place on a full moon, but then he can, like, wolf out whenever he wants. I love it.
Yeah, it seems like that was just, like, the inciting incident, and he just now can, like you said, if he gets agitated, he can't help it. But according to him, it's easy to get a little agitated to, like, do it, you know? He's like later versions of the Hulk, almost.
Yes, that can, like, control the shift. Yeah, I really like, I mean, this high school dance is, like, it's not real at all. Like, this is one of the few moments where I feel like, okay, we're in Scott's head. This is not how it really went down at the dance. Like, people did not start synchronizing dancing, like, werewolf dance to the werewolf music. Like, I feel like it's more, I feel like it's the end of the movie. Maybe we're just trying to show a little more of, like, his, I don't know, his subconscious bleeding through. I don't know what, but, like, it becomes a very stressful moment for him anyway, so maybe they're sort of trying to, like, build tension that way, being like, hey, everybody, like, everyone's looking at you, we're dancing at you, we're singing this song about you, like, it's all about you, Scott. And it's like the comes back in and is like, nah, I'm kind of, like, over it. She sat so quiet
there. Stay away from Pamela, she's mine. Stick with your own kind, freak. Like that little tramp.
What are you all laughing at? You're just some kind of animal.
Face me up your head. Come on, freak. Get back here. Let go of me. Let go. Get back here. Rip your head right off. Get back here. Come on, freak. I'm not through with you yet! Come back here, freak! This isn't done by a long shot! Get back in here, freak!
I mean, he does a little dance, but, like, you know, when he when he comes back, Nick has to be like, no one wants you here, freak. And then he, like, then he beats up Nick, and then everyone starts, like, pointing at him, and, like, it becomes like,
which I really don't get.
It becomes like Carrie, right? Where people are, like, shocked that a werewolf, like, scratched somebody, let alone, like, not just somebody, but, like, the biggest dick in town who, like, egged him on.
He wasn't doing it, like, aimlessly. He didn't just, like, transform and start attacking random people. Like, he was being picked on. I'm not saying, like, that's the right way to go, but it wasn't out of nowhere. They acted like he was, like, I don't know, like, uncontrollable.
Dude, they acted like he pulled out a gun or something, right? Like, instead. Like, seriously. Because even Styles looks at him like, too far, Scott, too far. And Malcolm, I think, is the other friend. Is it Malcolm or something? But, like, he's got this other friend who's, like, been avoiding him ever since he wolfed out and is just, like, scared shitless of him. Like, I think I would be too, to a degree. Like, you don't know what else he's capable of.
And then, you know, he kind of makes a decision. I can't really be the wolf anymore.
Yeah.
It's a mature decision. I like it. I get it. And, you know, it all leads to kind of the basketball game, which he says he's really not going to go to because he stinks. But he ends up going. It's the big championship. And, of course, Mick McAllister is on the other team. And they all want him to be the wolf, but he's not the wolf. But through teamwork and understanding, and he had to pick up some skills when he was the wolf, right?
Yeah, I think the whole team kind of gleamed a little bit of talent because they're having, like, the game of their life. Like, everything is dropping. Everything they're throwing up is coming down, like, swish, swish. It's great.
Yeah, and, you know, there's not much to say about the scene, but except that it's awesome and they win the big basketball game.
So two things. One, I was very shocked that we don't see the wolf again. Like, he leaves the dance.
Shocked, I agree.
Dude, he leaves the dance kind of, like, sulking. Like, the vice principal comes up and he's like, I've got your ass now, mister. And it's like, wait, what? And that's when the dad shows up and then, you know, threatens him. He's like, stay away from my son. You know, you son of a bitch. Like, we did. I thought for sure we'd get one extra scene. I was even expecting it now, having watched this movie so many times. I was like, where's the scene where he's talking to his dad in the living room after, and they're, you know, kind of like rehashing everything that happened, and he's saying to his dad, like, man, things really just got out of control there for a while, and then his dad being like, you know, it's Scott, like, I'll always accept you. You're my son. You know what I'm saying? Like, that whole, like, kind of reconcile speech. And then Scott deciding, like, you know what, Dad? Like, I'm done with the wolf kind of thing. So, like, yeah. I was kind of surprised we don't get one more wolf.
I thought, honestly, like, I don't know why in my mind that he would transform into the wolf on like the last play, and that's why they he got them there, but yeah. Like he's allowed to do it like a little bit, you know, or something like that. But no, we get it like a Karate Kid ending, very similar.
Yeah I originally it bothered me because, like, you know, when you're a little kid, like, you don't want to just watch, like, it's like it turns into Hoosiers, which we're going to get to, you know, sooner than later on your show, I believe. But, like, you know, it just turns into high school basketball game, which now I appreciate, and I love this ending, and I love that it shows, like, yes, like, Scott finally accepts who he is, and he's able to go out there with that confidence, and it's sort of infectious with the entire team, and everybody is finally, like, on the same page again. And it doesn't matter if they win, because they tried their best, right? And they did it, and not the wolf, or not like steroids, uh-huh, or whatever you want to call it. You know, because that's what the wolf kind of was, right? He was just like roids. He's like roid, and then he would become roid rage and things. And so it's really nice to see, like, they're just gonna play this basketball game out for the end of the movie, and it's a nice symmetry with the opening, with the free throws and everything. So I love it.
So Bill Simmons, the famous you know, sports podcaster, He just sold his network for $200 million to Spotify. I mean, that's another story. But you think the Cage Club Podcast Network is selling for that price?
At least half. I mean...
But, you know, huge basketball guy. He famously loves this film, and he'll often refer back to it. In the NBA today, there's something basically called Hero Ball. It's basically like when there's one player on the team who pretty much has to take over and do everything.
Oh, like a LeBron kind of thing.
Yeah, like LeBron in the
Jordan back in the day
famously has had like pretty bad teams around him. Mm-hmm. So he's had to kind of been like that selfish asshole teen wolf to win, you know?
That's funny.
And then, you know, there's the teamwork version of him is when he's not the wolf. So I just get a kick out of that because, again, I'd heard him say this on his podcast, and I hadn't really seen the film in a while. Now that I see it, it makes so much sense. Because basketball is a weird sport. It is a team sport, but one player can really, yes, change your fortunes, yeah, more than any other sport.
Right. So yeah. He's a total ringer, right? Yeah. It's almost like, yeah, it reminds me of that Simpson episodes where Mr. Burns has like a softball team, and he has a huge bet with the other power plant, so he hires Major League Baseball players so they can be on his softball team.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the Teen Wolf, and we can call him that. It's not just like, you know, if we were talking about the Little Mermaid, we probably should say Ariel and not the Little Mermaid.
Okay.
They call him the Teen Wolf in this film.
Oh, yeah, know? Yeah, so, yeah. It's like,
so we can call him the Teen Wolf.
Scott Howard, the Teen Wolf.
Yeah, the Teen Wolf is like their MVP, and it is awesome though, like, to see them playing basketball again as a team, and everyone's so much better, even Chubbs and stuff.
And the whole crowd, it gets into it too, you know, like, it almost embiggens the entire team, like the entire school. And I know embiggens is not a real word; it's also, I just got Simpsons on the brain. But like, it really sort of it becomes, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say like he fixes the school or anything by the end, but maybe, you know, like, they become just like really well adjusted by the end of this movie. Like, at the beginning there was like three people there, and at the end, like, everyone was there to see the wolf, but by the end they were cheering for the whole team.
Yeah, it just literally becomes about the team. How heartwarming. Beautiful ending. Anything else you want to mention about Teen Wolf? Any scenes we missed or something?
I think we pretty much covered it. Did pretty good job. I can't think of
yeah,
anything.
It's a short movie, not much happens, but it's more of a movie you feel, believe it or not, than like you're talking like scene by scene. It has its moments, but you're just kind of along for this kooky werewolf ride.
I mean, it truly is like this unique kind of thing. Like, I mean, like, there's stuff like this from the 50s, right? Like, even if you go back and watch The Blob, Steve McQueen's in The Blob, right? And he's like in his late 20s playing a teenager, but like that whole movie is like played for laughs. That's almost like, it's almost, I could almost see like Teen Wolf coming out back then, you know, but like just getting lost in the mix because it's just another, you know, Saturday matinee teenage, you know, schlocky horror flick or whatever. But there's something about the 80s, and particularly like this point in the 80s and with supernatural comedies or whatever you want to call them. Like, they were really hitting hard, and special effects were good, and filmmaking was good, and, you know, there's a young audience that wanted this stuff, and yeah, it was just, you know, it hit at the right time again, and I'm just so glad that it's there. And it is a little too bad that the sequel, you know, it's kind of terrible, but it's cool that there was a cartoon. And, you know, this like Karate Kid came back on YouTube recently. This came back on MTV a couple of years ago. So who knows if this might not be the end of Teen Wolf?
Maybe not. Who knows? All right, Mike, got a lot of questions. We got some new questions too. Ooh. Since the last time you've been on. I don't want you to answer off the cuff. I didn't prep you for these.
Okay.
So some might not apply here. Some definitely will. We've been giving out 3 awards lately.
Oh.
The first is called it's either the Wooderson Award or the Wooderson Spicoli Award. I haven't yet decided. But it's a character who you would like to see more of in
Styles.
The film.
I mean, yes. Styles or... is, that's the archetype. That you're talking about. Like, he is the Spicoli of this movie, for all intents and
purposes. Yeah, almost quite literally. It doesn't have to be someone like that, but you know when you watch a film and you're like, oh, I'd like to see their story.
Well, I think that's why they brought the character back, at least for the sequel, if not the same actor. Because Styles has a whole life to him. Of course I want to go home with him instead of, like, that's what's crazy. Like, you go home and Scott's going to turn into a werewolf. I still would rather go home and see what Styles is doing at his house.
Speaking of Spicoli, I just remembered reading this. Apparently, the director thought Michael J. Fox was a little too square and wanted the character to be played more like a Spicoli, which I was thinking, like you said, we already have Styles here. We don't need 2 guys like that, you know?
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox wanted to play it as is, and the studio came by, and they're like, no, Michael J. Fox, you're right, not the director. And it was like, okay.
He's already playing it so differently than Alex P. Keaton on Family Ties, you know? So, like, this is already different than what people are used to seeing him as. And I'd say, like, this is very Marty McFly, too. Like, it's just, like, he just feels very prototypical teenager in this movie. Marty's a little more rock and roll, I guess. Scott is just, yeah, I'm not sure Scott knows. He doesn't really have his identity yet, right? Like, he's still searching.
They both have a similar insecurity about them.
Yeah.
Which is nice.
Good call.
Next award, the Long Duck Dong Award. And this is an award for a character who you would just rather be deleted from the film, whether it's dated, racially inappropriate, or just something that just took away from the film. Anyone here?
So, I mean, we mentioned about, like, the vice principal stuff. Like, you can't get rid of Scott's dad, but if you get rid of the vice principal, then you lose the whole bully thread and the dad not sort of like heeding his own advice, right? It's by no means, I don't think anything reaches the level of
Long Duck Dong. I think the principal, if you had to put someone in this category in terms of being erased from the film, we even said it before you even knew this award existed, so it has to be the principal.
Yeah.
Vice principal
at that. Can you imagine if, like, the vice principal just walks into the principal's office one day and Teen Wolf sitting across the desk and the principal's like, this guy, and Teen Wolf's like, that guy, and he's like, you're fired.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he'll get the Long Duck Dong Award here. Last award, the Cameron Fry Award. And famously, this award is named this because Alan Ruck was 30 years old playing a high schooler in Ferris Bueller.
Then he was like 40 in Speed? Whoa. And that means he's in like his 60s now on that HBO show? Holy
shit.
My mind is blown. Have you been watching Succession? He's on that show.
I'm not caught up, but everyone tells me. I hear good things, we'll put it that way. And I've always liked him. Yeah, he's 63 currently.
Wow.
So who looked way too old to be a high schooler here?
Well, the Mick guy, right? Like Mike Piazza. Like that that guy is definitely, you know, a sophomore in college or something. And like it even occurred to me just like at the end when Scott rips his shirt and I was like, "Whoa, that actor like has a tattoo on his ribs, like on his like that's and it was like 84." I was like, "He's probably old, like really old. Like I don't think he's a high school kid."
The only thing that might save him, and I didn't hear this in the entire film, but and maybe it's from like alternate sources, but there is a Teen Wolf like wiki.
Of course.
And when I clicked it, it said that he's a 21-year-older who was in jail and had to go back to high school?
No, that's no, right? No, because he goes to the military academy, doesn't he? Isn't
or
that...
something like that? I don't. That's what it said, and I'm like, oh, I guess I justify it, but still, come on.
No, I mean, even if he was like left back a year, like he's still too old, or even if he's like left back 2 years. I mean,
but
four
even his
or
girlfriend,
five.
She looks old too. Like this is a pretty older looking.
Yeah. Here's the thing too: is like what grade are they even in? Like, I think Scott.
It's true. It doesn't say like we're all seniors.
Yeah, like Pamela could probably pass for a senior, right? Like she looks pretty mature for her age. Boof, more of like a sophomore, junior. Scott, like, is he a freshman? Like, I don't know.
Middle school?
No, but like the rest of them feel more like sophomores and juniors, whereas like, you know, Pamela definitely feels like a senior or like a freshman in college.
Yep. Okay. So we'll just nominate Mike Piazza then.
Okay.
So Mike Piazza it is for the Cameron Frye Award. So I was kind of surprised by this, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 44% by the critics, 52% by the audience. So kind of right down the middle. Maybe you either like this movie or you hate this movie. I don't know. But Mike Manzi, A plus to F scale. What will you rate Teen Wolf? Woo.
So, I mean, even if it doesn't deserve it entirely, I'm still giving it to it. Just like Scott, I'm Scott as the wolf. He's getting that A. He's getting an A today. I am giving this movie a straight A.
Wow.
Yeah, because like it goes beyond like the movie. Like it's just like I love this movie. Like I just love watching it. Like all the reasons I went into. Like I feel like. Can take this seriously if you want to, and like there's actually some nice, you know, things going on here. There's lessons being learned, like there's a lot of metaphors for coming of age and puberty or what have you. Or I feel like it's more prescient today. Maybe that's why the show came back. I don't know. I never watched the show. I don't know what it's about. If they changed it, like how they changed it or whatever. But like, yeah, man, I think this movie really holds up thematically and all that kind of thing. Like you could remake Teen Wolf today for sure. Like as a one-shot movie, like you could take this script probably and just do this script again.
Maybe you wouldn't use homophobic slurs in one scene, but
oh, of course.
That...
Oh, I mean, or you might, you know, I don't know. Like that's the thing. It's like, this feels like so genuinely, it just feels so genuine basically is the way it comes down. Like, I don't think like, you know, any of that stuff is in there necessarily to be derogatory towards one person or another. It's just the way high schoolers talk, right? And that's what this comes down to for me. Like, I'm amazed at how this is so much more of a high school movie first and then like a supernatural movie second. And like we've seen this without the wolf and it works perfectly. And so like to put the wolf in here and have it still work so well is great. And Michael J. Fox is great and there's a great supporting cast and it's just a lot of fun. You know, you can just sit there and have fun watching it. Or you could sit there and like analyze it and be like, wow, like this is there's something else going on beneath here, beneath the skin. So, yeah, I'm sticking with my A.
Nice. You know, after talking about a lot of Twilight films this year, and we'll still be talking about some more, it's nice to see a different kind of werewolf, you know, with a different kind of tone. Hey, you know what I realized? You and I have talked a wolf before on this podcast.
Oh. You're gonna have to jog my memory.
How about a woo, Wolfman Jack?
Oh, that's right. Hey, yeah, kind of
American Graffiti.
He's kind of hidden in there. Yeah,
but you're not right, a real man. Wolf. Maybe they talk a little bit about Wolfman.
No, but this movie actually exceeded my expectations on this watch. Not that I ever hated it, but by the end, like I said, I was really along for the ride. I gave it a solid B. Which I thought was high.
Okay.
It's not, clearly.
No, it is. But... I'm just nuts. That's all.
But yeah, I would definitely watch this again. I would definitely recommend it. It's not like a cinematic masterpiece, but this movie is just so fun that I can never dismiss it. It's so easy and fun, you know? So
yeah.
B for Teen Wolf.
Nice. Love it. Great grades here today. This has been one of the most fun times I think I've had on your show, if I just may say, talking Teen Wolf.
Wow. I mean, you know, well, thank you, Michael J. Fox, then.
Next time I see him, I'll let him know.
Please do. This is going to be a fun one. What's your Teen Wolf sleeping bag looking like?
I mean, part of me just wants it to have, like, the big Teen Wolf logo on it, right? I don't know. Let's see. Do you remember the name of their high school by any chance? Because this might come into play.
Ooh.
Because I was gonna say maybe I'll do like their mascot is the Beavers, so maybe yes. I'll do like a Beavers sleeping bag or something. But I wanted to say like the name of the high school too. But I can't remember the name of the high school.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the high school either. But it is the Beavers. I know that.
I don't know. I'm a little torn here. You know what would be kind of fun? I don't think that this would be practical or exist on any level, but like imagine you have this sleeping bag and then you zip it up and it looks like you've turned into a werewolf, you know? So, like
that'd be kind of cool.
So like it's all big and black and furry, I guess, and it has like little paws sticking out and stuff, and where the zipper is can sort of like, I guess, be the mouth or something. I don't know, but if you can picture it, that's what I'm bringing, is my werewolf sleeping bag.
I think I would have one similar, but like it would just be just yellow with that like Beavers writing on the front, like the basketball jersey.
Nice.
And the back is that like shag hair.
Yeah, because that looks comfortable. Like it, like I wouldn't mind like sleeping on top of like wolf fur.
Ooh, what are you trying to say?
That I want to tame a pet wolf and sleep on top of it every night, like a mini bed. I'm all curled up on top of.
Okay, Mike, you've done this question a million times before, but you and I, you know, we're having our slumber party. We walked into a Blockbuster. We're renting Teen Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, rent two, get one free. What are the other two movies okay. we're renting for our slumber party together?
All right. I actually prepared for it this time. So,
ooh, you did your homework. You did your homework.
Yeah.
I like it.
So the first movie is a Michael J. Fox movie. Got to get at least another Michael J. Fox movie in there. And it's a movie that I saw in theaters because I saw Back to the Future, I saw Teen Wolf, we loved Michael J. Fox, and like, of course, like his next movie is going to be funny and family-friendly and everything. So we're going to rent The Secret of My Success.
Ooh, I've never seen that one.
Oh, baby. I might go watch it after this call because, like, it's not that it's a good movie or anything, but I just remember sitting there in the theater as, like, a little kid, and I had no idea what was going on. It, like, he infiltrates the corporate world. Like, basically, Michael J. Fox is from Kansas, and he has an uncle who's, like, I think he's, like, on Wall Street. Not quite sure, but he's like a big businessman, and he gives Michael J. Fox like a job in the mailroom at his company, and Michael J. Fox like buys a suit and pretends to be an executive like on the top floor and sort of like fakes it until he makes it. I don't know, there's something like really fun about this movie that I don't know that many people are even aware of it at all, but so that's pick number one, Secret of My Success.
Awesome. You know, I would enjoy that. So far, Slumber Party is fun because, like I said, never seen that one.
Okay, so pick number two is another werewolf movie. And
ooh.
This is a movie I saw for the first time this year. Late September, I saw it. I caught it on TV, and then I had to rent it the next day to watch it in its entirety because I had no idea what I had just watched. It was so amazing. So it's from 1996. It stars Mariel Hemingway, and it's called Bad Moon.
Bad Moon.
Bad Moon. And it's pretty incredible. Like, it's, I think there might be two cuts. There might be like a, there's like the theatrical cut, I think is the one I saw, which is like 80 minutes. And then there might be like an extended cut out there on like Shout Factory or something. I'm not sure, but I'm trying to track down the extended cut because like, it feels like shots are missing, you know, like when we were watching Slumber Party Massacres and you could tell like, oh,
yeah,
this shot is missing. Like there's moments like that, but this movie is incredible. I had never even heard of it until this year. It's a werewolf movie I had seen for the first time. Bad Moon. I highly recommend. There's some insane practical effects. It's just like a really bizarro type of werewolf story. And yeah, we will not get to bed at all that night. This slumber party. So,
should we save that one for the last movie, the slumber party?
Yeah, we'll watch that last. After we're riding that high of Secret of My Success, and then we'll put on some Bad Moon.
We have two werewolf movies, two Michael J. Fox movies. Perfect. Well, Mike, thank you so much. You know, you'll be on later during this March Madness for another film. But, you know, in the meantime, thank you so much. Anything you want to plug? Certainly want to plug Third Times as you chug along on your final season glorious third movies.
That is correct. So it's the third and final year. I don't know, season, year, whatever. But this is going to be, yeah, the last year of Third Time's a Charm. You know, my Brian, my unofficial co-host, will be over there, and I'm sure we're going to get an extra horror movie or two in before we say goodbye, and maybe something else. And that is every third of the month. So, like, the third of every month is a new episode, and then every once in a while put out, like, a mid-month episode on the 17th. It's like a bonus. So I'm trying to do more of those this final year. I mentioned earlier in this podcast I have the Back to the Future 3 episode is recorded, and I'm editing that. So I think that's the March 3rd episode. So whenever you're listening to this, that's when that comes out. And then Fridays are for fun, as you know, obviously. But every Friday, the co-founder, podcast podfather, is that what we're calling him? The podfather? Joey and I, we are doing a project called the Tom Tom Club, where every other week we are reviewing movies of Tom Hanks and Tom Cruise, alternating those weekly. There's about 30 episodes of each of those out right now, I believe. I just, at the time of this recording, I just handed in the Toy Story 2 episode, which turned out really great. Love Toy Story 2. Yeah, so you got to check out Cruise and Hanks every other Friday, and that's the same day as High School Slumber Party. So, you know, we got your whole weekend planned for you.
Perfect. That's great. I can't wait for you to do Toy Story 3 because
You're
an expert in both fields.
It's going to be a big crossover episode between two of my own shows.
That's awesome. Well, Mike, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure. You know, you have so many titles on the show. It's hard to count, but thank you for always attending when you need to be.
Well, thank you.
God, what is it like? Okay, so we had Teen Wolf. We had two New Moon episodes. I guess To All the Boys, P.S. I Still Love You, is not supernatural or wolf-themed, but, you know, we had Wolverines in Red Dawn recently. Yeah, it's a thing. Well, thank you so much, Mike Manzi, for stopping by. As always, I'll be thanking you way, way more times again, because you'll be on again. So, you know, big shout out to him. And yeah, I mean, he's an integral part of the show, that's for sure. So your homework for next week might be the most opposite basketball film. Yeah, like the most opposite basketball film to Teen Wolf. But we're still holding that ball. We didn't take that ball and go home. We're still dribbling down the court. We're still, you know, spacing out the floor, maybe shooting a three or driving down the lane. And most importantly, we're talking a documentary, the first documentary on High School Slumber Party. And that's Hoop Dreams.
With a game, with a basket and a ball. It becomes a journey of heartbreak and hope. From city streets to the brink of fame.
Isaiah Thomas!
The amazing story of two boys and two families struggling against the odds.
My mother, God bless her, she's always said to me, this America, you can make something of your life.
Against the system.
You have to realize
you can make their team win.
To make a dream come true.
All I ever dreamed about was playing in the NBA.
People ask me, will I remember them if I make it? I tell them, will you remember me if I don't?
Hoop Dreams, an extraordinary true story, a unique motion picture experience.
That trailer, especially like audio-wise, does not do this film any justice. It makes it sound like a comedy almost, because I think that, like, that trailer voice has been parodied so much. Oh my god. Anyway, no, it's a serious movie. It's a long movie, but it's one of the greatest documentaries of all time. Not just basketball documentaries, not just sports documentaries, one of the greatest documentaries of all time. Definitely, definitely do your homework and watch Hoop Dreams and get ready for next week's episode. My guest is Kirkland Shepherd. He was on our Varsity Blues episode. He has a lot of awesome insight, and, you know, I can't wait for you guys to hear it, and I can't wait to continue this March Madness. I guess I'm, you know, passing it along to Kirk here. Well, oh God, I gotta get better with these basketball puns. Anyway, you know the drill, guys. You know where to follow us. Class participation is a major part of your grade. So give me a comment. I've been loving your comments, but give me a comment on Facebook. Give me a comment on Instagram. Give me a comment on Twitter. Maybe next week I'll read some comments, if I remember. If I do my own homework, I don't have to. I run this show. But I really should. It's getting time for bed. It's getting time to curl up in those sleeping bags and, you know, fall asleep. So we can wake up tomorrow morning and have some homemade pancakes. I'll leave you with the theme to the animated Teen Wolf show. Oh man, this is a good one. Later, dudes.
Beware, Scott, when the moon is full.
Oh no, not again!
I'll die if anyone sees me like this!
Hey man, say, don't be shy if it happens to you.
Hi, Grandpa. Good morning, Scotty.
It's fun being different if you have a healthy attitude.
Only my friends Boop and Styles know my hairy secret.
I'm feeling hairy and my teeth are mean. I got a weird complexion and I want a smile.
Still here? It's over. Go home. Go.